And they're off and correct about horses. It's Everything to Galloping, the podcast where we talk about history's most famous horses, according to the perverts who edit Wikipedia. I'm William Hughes, and I'm joined, as always, by a real front runner, Gary Butterfield.
Perverts they are. Will, how many hands tall you are today?
Is it my hands? Because I've got big hands. They look like big, strong hands.
Yeah. Big hands, you're the one. I know you're the one.
Do you like that song?
The one from Neverending Story, the Rockbiter song?
Yeah, the Rockbiter's famous.
I love the Rockbiter's
crooning.
Lament.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They look like big, strong, good hands.
In hands, they're in my hands. Yeah.
Voiced by Alan Oppenheimer. No relation.
Oh.
I'm become rocks, destroyer of hands.
Yeah, you think he's going to destroy, but he's actually really gentle.
Gary,
until they
might
introduce the third one, they have Son of Rockbiter.
Isn't Son of Rockbiter in the second one?
I think the second one has Wife Rockbiter. I think they introduced them in the same order as they introduced the Q family.
Or Pac-Man.
Pac-Man, exactly. Yeah. Then we got to get Super Rockbiter, Rockbiter Land. A not very good platformer that's nonetheless important.
The one where you're controlling him with a slingshot?
Yeah. That would be horrible. He wouldn't do anything.
No, because the hands are actually quite bad. And also the nothing is pursuing you the whole time.
The nothing is pursuing you the entire time, like real life.
To say nothing of the fucking Gamork, also voiced by Alan Oppenheimer, no relation.
Oh.
I have a lot of Rockbiter facts on the mind because we're doing an inventory on good rock monsters from movies because of Project Hail Mary.
Okay.
So I wrote about the Rockbiter, which means I got to watch behind the scenes stuff of the Rockbiter. That shit kicks ass.
Yeah, I love the Rockbiter. And I love the Neverending Story. The Neverending Story.
Huge puppet suit.
Yeah, huge puppet suit. That whole movie bats above its weight class. Like, the Southern Oracle is so fucking Dark Souls. Like, the two gigantic statues with the laser beam between them.
Yeah, it's the guy who made Das Boot.
Yeah.
Is the director. Was it William Peterson? No, not William Peterson. I can't remember. Wolfgang
It's John Shue who made Das Boot. Horseshoe.
This is Galloping.
Because, of course, it's
Everything to Galloping.
Yeah,
which
horseshoes.
Is obviously... What?
Horseshoes? I said horseshoes.
Yeah! Close enough. This, of course, is the show where... That was a horseshoes and hand grenades joke.
No, I got gotcha.
This is the show where we look at Wikipedia's list of famous horses, historical.
Mm-hmm. We're going to go through all of them in a random order. This show only lasts about... there's like 60 of them. So this show is a lot shorter than our other shows.
I will say, about a 50% hit rate on interesting horses this week.
We did great. I mean, I did great. I randomized them and I put my mojo into the randomizer, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, you're like in Austin Powers. And got some pretty good horses, including our first one this week.
Is there a horse in Austin Powers?
Maybe the third one. I never saw Goldmember.
You never saw Goldmember? You never rolled up a pancake?
Never rolled up a pancake. If there was a horse in Goldmember, they would have called it Huge Member. Yeah, that's horses.
That's horses, man. Because they're fairly well hung traditionally.
They're hung like a something. I can't remember what it is, but
there's no way to know.
There's no way to know. I hate it. It's my least favorite thing about horses. Both genitals on both types of horses are no good.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. This horse though, Sefton. Horse of the Year, 1982.
Mm-hmm.
This horse rules.
I had a complicated relationship with Sefton.
Yeah? I liked how much of an asshole he is. Like, yes, he's on the wrong side of history.
Sure, but see, this is one of the longer Wikipedia pages I've read in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And about two-thirds of the way down, I started to get a profound reminder that any memorial to me when I die... will be infinitesimally the size of the one for this horse who
for
got
Sefton?
Blown up. Yeah.
You forget that anyone can edit Wikipedia and that I'm your friend. So I can add in things like when you were young, you had the nickname Sharky due to your predilection for biting. Like I can pad out your Wikipedia, no problem.
Yeah, you'll be around. This is such a detailed biography of an animal.
Of a horse. Yeah. Yeah, it's a, you know, it is, I had that feeling a little bit as well. This horse that lived for 17 years certainly has done more than I will ever do.
This is written by someone who wants their Wikipedia page to be optioned for a biopic.
Yes. And has a good chance of it.
Yeah.
Like this is kind of like Seabiscuit 2 or War Horse 2, The Horse Wars. Like this is going to become something. I found out there's a graveyard for these horses, the Defense Animal Training Regiment, where they have these animals can be buried. We can go and visit this grave as part of our Patreon Kickstarter goals, basically.
Yeah, and I'll also point out that maybe this was naive of me. I was not expecting to look at so many horse corpses during the production of this episode.
Very naive. I had a bunch of them loaded up. just to kind of desensitize myself this morning.
So to be clear, Sefton, named for Lord Sefton, mm-hmm. was a British military horse sold to the British military for £275, then standard.
Mm-hmm. Yep. A cross between a draft mare and a local thoroughbred believed to have been named Honor's Choice, which sounds like a generic soda in Britain.
Yeah, I've had Honors. When I was in the UK, I drank Honors Choice. They had it on tap at the Kentucky Fried Chicken that I ate at.
Yeah, they have like Dr. Barrister.
They did not. This was a Pepsi one. So instead, they had Lord Tuppence.
Fuck. Yeah, I prefer. They say you can't taste the difference between Dr. Barrister and Lord Tuppence, but I can.
You absolutely can. It's because one of them has strychnine in it.
Yeah, it's well. That's Britain for you.
That's Britain for you.
Crikey, it's a normal island. Guys, this horse is a real asshole. He seems like he was made to be a British military horse.
He was not disciplined. This is not a disciplined horse. He liked to bite and he liked naps.
He liked naps. It took him forever to be broken. He didn't submit to rider commands. He had passed out. He didn't actually fall asleep. I just the weird horse lingo you learn from this thing, including how many hands tall he is. And then he got a little bit into show jumping, as we all do.
Yeah.
And I found out there's a thing called the outbreak of the strangles.
Yeah, no, there's some great sentences in this Wikipedia page. In 1975, there was an outbreak of strangles at Knightsbridge Barracks, leaving a shortage of large black horses for ceremonial duties.
What? Yeah, like so many questions. But then the IRA gets involved. Like, this is an incredible horse story.
So again, this horse isn't famous because the horse really did anything. The horse is famous because the horse was blown up by a car bomb.
And survived, though. After 8 hours of surgery, this horse and went back to service. This is like RoboCop the horse.
Robo needs an Apollo.
Yeah, Robo does need some Ozo. Robo's going to take a big dump in the middle of the street and we're all going to have to pick it up, which it does raise the question, like, how does that work with RoboCop? But yeah, the IRA blew up a car bomb and hit this horse during the Hyde Park and Regent's Park bombings.
And 1982. Then
I was 2 years old. I couldn't have been there. I couldn't have done it.
Okay. It doesn't. All right.
Did not know about bombs enough.
You knew about the IRA, though.
Oh, big time.
You were a very political 2 year old in DeKalb.
Yeah, I was born into it. Yeah. Aurora, Illinois. But as you might not think so from my parents, but they were really involved in Irish politics.
Yeah, you and the Campbells, right?
Yeah, me and the Campbells.
I mean Wayne's family.
Yeah, from Aurora, Illinois. Yeah.
City of Lights
does not have that big car stack.
Uh-oh, everybody. Quick cameo from a guy who used to fuck the current Queen Consort of England.
Me.
No, Andrew Parker Bowles.
Okay, there we go. Yeah.
Who was regimental commander, who used to be married to Camilla Parker Bowles, who is the Queen Consort of England now.
And a regimental commander and veterinary officer.
Yeah.
So, like, he did it. He also fixed the horse.
The veterinary officer was Major Noel Carding.
Okay, got you. There you go. Thank you. They helped this horse. This horse survived. It was led to the first horse box on the scene. Also fun terms to learn about. The strangles, the horse box. And then 8 hours of surgery, and this horse was all right.
Hold on, Gary. I know I came down kind of hard on you on that whole veterinary officer thing. That's a misplaced comma in the Wikipedia.
I see.
I gotta edit this.
Yeah. Edit it real quick.
Yeah, hold on.
If your Wikipedia, when you die, doesn't have very much in it, you can just kind of start adding references to you and other people's Wikipedia. And,
or
like,
just
be
remove
diffuse.
Comma. Just remove unnecessary commas. Anyone
can add the, had Will Hughes in there instead. Just replace unnecessary commas with your name, and you'll be in many Wikipedias.
I forgot. Two human beings died in this bombing. They don't have Wikipedia pages.
No, they don't get shit. We get a picture of 8 dead horses and the 2 human beings who need not be specified. They weren't real. A statue.
We have the list of all the horses who died and not the humans.
It's incredible. The statue of Sefton was unveiled, funded by a Lord Ballydimond. Ballydimond? What a silly lord.
What a silly little lord.
Yeah. This horse, crazy. This is a crazy, this is a Dirty Harry of horses. I would enjoy seeing an entire movie about this horse.
During his time in the hospital, he received huge quantities of cards and mints.
Yeah. That's all any of us want.
But I know I said I was, like, feeling pretty bad about Sefton and about his place in history. I really came around in one of the last lines about his life. He lived at the center until the age of 30 before having to be put down on 9th July 1993 due to incurable lameness. Yeah. And as someone who has one of his best friends be incurably lame,
mm-hmm.
that made
That's
my heart
a brutal
kinda
thing
grow.
To say to Kevin.
Yeah.
I've only seen it a couple times, but I didn't think that was true of him.
No, yeah, and it's not.
John? Fucking John. Poor John. Poor John.
Yeah, I met John.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor John. So much to galloping. You know, do you remember galloping in school? Did you gallop in gym?
Yeah, man. Are we pulling this ripcord already? We gonna talk about doing parachute?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's not something a horse does, whereas galloping is the name of the show and it's something that horse does.
Horses have been parachuted, I'm sure.
That is true, actually. It's horrible. It's like the horses they make jump into the tiny cup of water.
You know? Yeah, but the horses like it.
They hate it. They have to be like electroprodded to do it.
They like the electroprod.
They do kind of like it a little bit. They're freaks. They're freaks for Eastim.
This
horse is a freak
a
for Eastim, and you have to be when you have a dick that big. Like, you have to become a freak for Eastim. That's what the movie Kinsey's about.
That's what Kinsey's about.
Yeah.
Now, Gary, we can't get off on psychologists yet. We got a big one coming up.
Yeah. And also, we got to save that for Everything to G-Spot, the podcast about every sexual
I have
movie,
not actually
Kinsey.
Agreed to do that one.
No, not yet. Well, I know I got somebody else for it.
What?
So.
Who?
It's going to be me and Nick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is Nick big into the G-spot?
Let's ask him next time we hang out.
Yeah.
Let's ask Carrie.
I hang out with Nick sometimes now.
Yeah, I remember you guys hanging out. I heard tell of it.
We keep inviting you.
Yeah, I know. I'm bad. There's nothing good about
and that's,
me. I'm not,
and that's the end of the episode.
Yeah, that's the end of the podcast. There's nothing good about me.
Yeah.
If you like this show, you're wrong. Goodbye.
Yeah.
I'm awful. I'm not fit to suck Sefton's ginormous fucking 10-mile dick. Our famous sign off.
You want to? Can I get that clean, please?
I'm not fit to suck Sefton's enormous 10-mile dick.
I agree with Gary about his inadequacies in this department.
To the races, it's me, Gary Butterfield, with William Hughes on Everything to Galloping.
It's me, the stalking horse.
Ooh, uh-oh. Be careful, there's a stalking horse about.
I feel like stalking has become so digital, right? It's so easy to digitally stalk.
That is true.
I was going to say, I think I am too noticeable to be a good stalker. But, like, I don't know. I feel like I could probably do some good work now.
You could digistock no problem. I feel like most people could digistock.
And I can be the kind of stalker who just, I have a big profile, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I could just, like, if I was standing outside your house for a day, you'd notice.
Yeah, you'd get more shade in the house.
Yeah.
It would actually do wonders for our cooling bills.
Yeah, but it would fuck up your solar panels.
It would fuck up our solar panels, our heating bills. The I think you could stalk successfully in real life exclusively if people were at, like, the DMV. If you had to stalk people at the DMV, I think you'd fit really in and no one would notice you at the DMV.
Do you know that that's deeply insulting, what you're saying? Is it being said as an insult?
It started as a non-insult.
But you got
and
there,
then kind
right?
of became one as I went. You heard what you were
saying. Heard what you were saying.
I didn't hear what I was saying. I started thinking of the implications partway through.
That's what I mean by heard what you were saying, yes.
I started thinking about what I was saying.
Even worse in many ways.
Yeah.
You look like someone who would be at the DMV is
all the time. And,
yeah.
Like came with it.
Well, it's because I just like the little, I can only come if I have my face pressed into one of those eye test machines.
I need to pull a number to come and I need somebody to call out the number that allows me to come or look on a big monitor that says come now. And then I do it.
Oh, that would be good at like the sex shop
bedroom,
right? What?
Yeah, a sex bedroom, like just a thing to install at home to like let you know when to go.
I feel like there's a voyeurism component that the sex bedroom's not gonna fulfill.
Stalking stalking is what we call it.
Silk stockings on the USA Network. Unlike Holla the Horse, who I do not believe ever appeared on the USA Network, although I haven't watched all of Mr. Robot yet.
It might have happened through time things. Now, Holla, the important thing is
your boy.
We Holla at our Holla. We don't know how many hands tall Holla is.
I'm sorry, but, man. And I know that that's going to eat at your lifespan, not knowing that.
But on the other side, finally some representation for the ladies. Because we got a mare.
As far as we know, this is the only female horse out of this list.
Yeah. And that's problematic, but you can blame the Google random number generator.
I bet you can say generator worse, and I have that kind of faith in you.
Generator? That's pretty bad.
I don't know. Getting a B sound in there really ups the dumb factor.
Demberator?
Demberator?
Demberator. Well, doing the extra B at the end, I think it takes too far. Then you sound like a rugrat.
Who's your favorite Rugrat?
That's tricky. Those twins are really scary. I find those things unnerving and weird.
Yeah, Phil and Lil.
Phil and Lil don't belong in that world. They look like Garbage Pail Kids that like stepped into that cartoon.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah,
and they always had they were always kind of amoral in a way that really upset me.
Really amoral. Yeah, I mean, if I had to actually choose, like from what I didn't really watch that show very much, but probably Chucky. Just because he didn't look as scary to me. Like, all of them, those things look like freaks. They look like human versions of hairless cats.
Mm.
Like, they're really upsetting designs on the Rugrats.
Yeah, I identified like with them. Chucky's anxiety.
Yeah, I get that.
You got to put an anxious character into the cartoon for the anxious children.
It was, the main anxious character was a big thing. Nickelodeon, that and Rocko's Modern Life, Doug. Like, they
were
really
the main character of Rugrats is not anxious.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's Tommy.
Thomas Pickles, yes.
Yeah, is the main one. He's not anxious. Yeah, Chucky's he's a deuteragonist at best.
Son of Stuart Pickles, brother of Dill Pickles.
Yes. Yeah, the family had a plan.
Dee Dee is the mom.
Dee Dee is the mom. Angelica was the angry, slightly older girl.
Cousin.
Cousin. She was a girl and slightly older.
She was.
But
we were just talking about the Pickles family.
Yeah,
we were trying to chart the Pickles family tree, Gary.
You were trying to chart the Pickles family tree. I was trying to remember the names of the characters.
Half of the podcast
Rugrats.
Was trying to chart the Pickles family tree.
And the other half was just trying to remember the name of the Rugrats. What is Holla famous for?
I don't know. This was
jumping.
A boring one. This was a boring one. It's short. Holla it's
jumps.
About sports.
Holla jumps.
For some reason, this horse is on a stamp from the UAE. I don't know why.
This horse is supported by the Saudis. I like that this horse is also an asshole, considered very difficult.
Yeah.
Has this series on Wikipedia considered that maybe horses are just assholes?
Yeah, or maybe they just don't like the part where we make them jump and do shit.
When we make them do anything, like, we probably shouldn't. They don't need this. Like, and Hala has a story. At the end here, Hala had won back-to-back world championships jumping. Hala took off, and Winkler, the poor little rider,
Hans Gunther Winkler.
Winkler was thrown in the air, landed back in the saddle, tore a groin muscle,
mm-hmm.
and knew if he withdrew, the German team would be eliminated. So he continued on in great pain. And Hala completed the course rather, and he completed the horse and earned a gold. And that is what got Hala on this famous UAE stamp.
This famous stamp in Dubai. This could be, when they send Nirmal back, this could be one of the stamps on it.
That'd be incredible.
Why aren't we doing everything to Garfield?
We will.
But why aren't we doing it today instead of talking about Hala?
Because our next couple ones are real good.
But no, one of the next ones is real good.
Somebody hasn't read the deep lore on their last one.
Just so bored Gary, and you know I get socially destructive when I'm bored.
You are so annoying when you're bored. That is true.
I'm so
You're so
annoying.
Fucking annoying when you're bored.
When I'm bored, it's
the most annoying you ever get.
I just start seeing the rest of the human race as a bunch of buttons to push to make something interesting happen.
It's really annoying. It's a really bad trait. I'm very familiar. It's one of your worst traits, but not your worst.
What's my worst?
Ooh. That's a doozy. Let me think. I guess it's kind of what I was going to say is actually kind of a branch off of this trait. So maybe it is this trait.
Okay. What was it, though, that you were going to say?
I guess it's definitely a branch, because I was thinking of this with you pushing buttons when you're bored. But I was going to say the shoehorning and the topic you're interested in when any people are talking about something that they like. But that is definitely connected to this.
Okay, but that's the most annoying trait?
If you ask me today, yes. I would have to sit down and, like, pray on it. Like, I'd really have to start taking notes and stuff. But
yeah,
there's a good chance. My instincts right now say yes.
Okay, cool.
What do you think my most annoying trait is?
Too handsome. Too handsome. Aww,
thank you.
Yeah. Too strong.
I am.
I always
strong.
Know that if I need someone to lift and throw me, Gary's there, and that annoys me.
There's probably a time in which I might have been able to lift you if I really tried, and now I don't think I can because I'm very
not
weak.
A fucking
not because
chance.
You've gotten bigger.
No, because you've gotten weaker.
Yeah, I've gotten way weak. I'm powerful weak. Like, there's no way I could do it.
You're so easy to bully now.
I'm very easy to bully. Even though. Two developments on this. Do you want to hear these developments?
I feel like I'll get in trouble if I say no.
Well, I mean, you just won't hear these cool developments, and that's its own kind of trouble.
Gary, what are the developments?
I've gained a little weight back.
Nice.
You know, because they changed some medications that I was on to try to make me feel less sick.
Mm-hmm.
It remains to be seen whether we can keep with this. I might have to go back to being sick and skinny. And my wife, my lovely wife, who I love, said it was good because I was looking gaunt there for a while. And that made me feel things. I was kind of surprised about that. I was like, huh. Looking kind of gaunt. Don't like that.
I don't feel like it's safe for me to say anything right now.
No, it's safe for you because I'm opening up my Bombay doors or whatever. Like, this does give you an in to punch if you would like to punch.
I don't want to punch. I have genuinely had the thought, little worried about Gary.
I appreciate that. I know it comes from a good place. I just like, there's something about that word. I just kind of had a feeling of like, huh. I got, you know, when I say it didn't feel good about it, I wasn't mad at Liv.
Sure.
I was feeling like, oh no, maybe I was not doing good. So that comes from a good place.
Like, what she said came from a good place. I don't know if my thoughts came from a good place.
when you're saying I'm a little worried about Gary, it was like, I'm a little worried about Gary because he won't die soon enough.
If you get like, sick, it will be irritating.
It'll be really irritating. That's the most annoying thing I could do.
Yeah. If you get seriously sick,
your stipend.
It's not even the stipend. I don't care about the money.
Well,
you'll just be more irritated. It will be irritating. Grieving you will be irritating. I know that. I've grieved people before. It's fucking irritating.
It's not fun. Like, irritating is, that is a good word for it. Like, it is an annoying thing to do. It wrecks TV time. It wrecks a lot of time. It also makes all of your social interactions awkward. Like,
so annoying.
You get to, you know, and Miley's favorite thing about grieving, this is everything to grieving, is when you, you're in the grief mode and you're kind of compartmentalized things enough to like operate.
Yeah.
A little bit. And you're walking around and then somebody who means really well just goes and says something like a devastating key phrase that sets you back to square one.
Sure.
Grieving is real chutes and ladders. It's not really their fault, but anytime you can get a random encounter that just sends you back to square zero.
Or like you literally see an ambulance.
Yeah. 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 You know, or you're just reminded of a thing and it's just like, well, it's all back, baby.
The only good part is that sometimes people will tell you that they had a dream where they saw your missing loved one in heaven.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Whoa. Who told you that? A rando?
It was someone who kind of knew the mother of the person I'm talking about and told it to the mother. Like, she had a dream and saw them in heaven. And told the mother of this dead person about this.
Not good behavior.
It's pretty great.
When you started saying some random person, for some reason when I thought rando, I was thinking of like a dead zone situation. Like somebody walked up to you in the street and did it.
Oh, that'd be cool. That would be cool.
That would be crazy. That'd be scary as shit. But like also kind of cool. You have to find that person.
But like I never finished Orange is the New Black because someone I loved died. And that's so fucking irritating.
It doesn't end great.
I know, but I stopped at like season two because of that. And it's, you, I know that like seasons. Season three is like good, right?
Yeah. Season three is good. Season three is good. And season four and five are interesting.
Yeah. And that's so irritating.
That's really irritating. I'm irritated for you. Like that sucks. Yeah. I got a girl I dated a little bit, got me to start watching that show. And then we stopped dating and I had a real, like, I kind of still want to watch it and then just watch the rest of it alone. It was kind of weird. It's like the one remaining thing of that micro relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot like my thing.
It's very similar, actually. Except I got to watch the end of it. It's like the opposite of your thing. I got to actually finish Orange is the New Black. Because I love seeing women and women of color in starring roles.
I like Kate Mulgrew.
Oh, I love Kate Mulgrew. She's great in that show. Everybody's actually pretty good in that show. Master Chief is okay in that show.
They got Master Chief in that one.
Master Chief's in that show?
The live action TV series Master Chief is Porn Stash.
Oh, that's an odd choice.
It was, yeah.
Laura Prepon, not great in it. So.
I don't know, man. What do you want? She didn't sexually assault anyone. Okay?
That's
the bar for the That 70s Show cast now.
Okay. I thought you were saying for the Orange is the New Black cast.
No. I have no idea. Every chance that character might have at some
point. Yeah, and I was also trying to think of like...
coercive.
There's a good number of sexual assaults that happen in that show.
But no, but that 70s show cast, if they have not been convicted on sexual assault...
They're pretty good.
They're in the top percentile.
Yep. And that's all we can hope for, you know? And Hala, also never convicted of sexual assault. If people like this show, go give your horse a carrot.
Hey, I'm gonna be a good dad here. Sugar cube.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah, cube. give give your horse a treat, because you don't know how long you'll have them.
Send your horse a card and a mint, because I guess they like cards and I guess they like mints.
I would have guessed half of that is true.
Yeah.
The other half was a real surprise.
Do you think that that Sefton didn't care about the cards?
I bet you Sefton would have eaten the cards if they were left in mouth reach.
And if they'd been sent close to the mints.
Yeah, if they smelled a little bit like mint, or if Sefton just was bored. Because horses, I don't think you can relate to a horse almost more than you can not relate to other animals. I find horses to be exceedingly alien.
I don't like horses.
Me either. Their eyes are really scary and dead. And they're unpredictable and can and will kill you or turn you, you know, disable you for the rest of your life on a dime.
What if we had gotten just, and this would just be the name of the Wikipedia page, the horse that paralyzed Christopher Reeve.
Shit. and then it was all just like a glowing hagiography. Yeah. And you'd have to be like, fuck, I don't ever get a Wikipedia this good.
I got to just keep scrolling down. Christopher Reeve's name only appears twice in the whole. What? Only twice? Yeah. What?
And it's a lot about, well, he was difficult. He paralyzed Christopher Reeve, but he
don't
did a lot
call
of great
Christopher
things.
Reeve difficult, Gary. He was a fine actor. He made us believe a man could fly.
He made us believe a man could fall. Is it too soon? I don't know. I don't actually.
What?
Care about
what's
that, man.
What's up?
Okay. Nothing. I was like, is that too soon? That's not too soon. That guy's been paralyzed and gone for a really long time.
Yeah, he's dead. You're good.
Yeah, big
it's
time.
Okay. If you want me to cut it, I can cut it. If you feel like the Reeve family's
widow, I don't give a shit.
Can I do the intro for the next episode now?
Please.
Comments about beloved 70s actors. It's everything to galloping.
Discord censored so much of that.
Good.
I just kind of got noises in the old-timey voice.
That's perfect. That's great. That's all you really need. Hey, I'm William Hughes. That's Gary Butterfield. And this is a big one, man.
Can you imagine my delight when I was randomizing horses? And got to a horse I had heard of and knew something about.
But pause. I could just imagine your delight at randomizing horses in the first place.
It was pretty delightful. Just clicking random, counting. A lot of counting, which I like doing. Like counting up to like 61, which is well within my range.
Oh, you know who also liked counting, Gary?
Our horse for this episode, Clever Hans.
It's Clever Hans. Oh my God, a celebrity.
I know. He was clever. His name was Hans. There was a character involved in this named Oscar Funksk. That's great.
I mean, these are Germans, so a lot of the names are quite good. Karl Stumpf.
Karl Stumpf versus Oscar Funksk.
Wilhelm von Osten.
The Germans. I fucking love it.
Did they ever do anything that made it harder to love them?
No.
Good. So Gary, I'm gonna throw out a thought here before we get deep into Clever Hans.
Okay.
Clever Hans was clever.
Yeah.
Even if you believe the science.
Yeah.
About what clever Hans was really doing, I couldn't do it.
That is a good point. The remarkably trained Hans does not have the same ring to it. Or remarkably, like, trained himself.
Yeah.
Clever Hans is an autodidact.
Incredibly intuitive Hans.
Yes. Like, when I was talking about how we don't understand horses, I was being serious.
Yeah.
This horse understands us, though. And that's really scary.
If you were doing this podcast with Clever Hans, you would be more listened to and more supported.
Because Clever Hans would know all the strategies to get more listeners.
Shut up.
Because Clever Hans
Shut
understands
up.
People.
What?
Huh? Why?
I was giving an example of me being a bad co-host.
Oh, okay. I thought you didn't like what I was saying.
Of course I was listening to what you were saying.
Yeah, no, that sounds like something you do. You do have the affect of doing it, though. I feel like you've basically taken, what do they call it in this? It's not the pathetic fallacy. The thing that you do is also, you do the Clever Hans effect on this podcast.
Where I'm just kind of, you stopped talking, so now it's time for me to say my next line in the cadence as though I'm responding to what you said?
Yeah, you've become fully aware of the subtle cues in which I give you.
That's a really interesting point, Gary.
And it gives you kind of the illusion of sentience and such.
That's fascinating, man. Yeah. You want to talk about Might and Magic 6?
Kinda.
Okay.
I like Might and Magic 6. That example, before we did it for Watch Out for Fireballs, I would have been like, ugh, Will's being annoying. But you chose something that we can both talk about. Doesn't happen that often. Pretty nice.
Been enjoying Real Itch Hours. But still listen to it. I still listen to it. It's the only show on the network I listen to. Good job.
Someday we'll get you back. Someday we will get you back.
People keep telling me I should listen to that cheese episode of Abject Suffering.
It's pretty fun. I did have a serious thought about who to give the cheese to. That was does this go to Guppy or Abject Suffering decision for Gary's, for Clever Gary's? And I looked at the cues from both you and Kay and made my decision.
Was it funny?
I thought so, and other people also think so. That feels like a trick question coming from you, because if I say yes, you're going to be like, listen to it, and you're going to be like, that wasn't that funny. And if I say no, I don't, that is like weird and self-deprecating in a way that I don't want to be about a show I think is pretty good.
So to be clear, that I wasn't asking it so I could try to gotcha you. It's because if it was funny, I'm not going to listen to it.
Okay.
I can't listen to you be funny with someone else because I can only compare it to Guppy. That's why I listen to Real Itch Hours.
Yeah, it's not funny. Most of your shows
with Kay are pretty safe.
Yeah, they're not. There's some smile out loud moments from time to time, I would say.
I've audibly said, riding in my car, clever.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's all we aim for.
Trenchant.
Clever Gary, clever Kay. We're doing those cues. We're doing the Clever Hans effect to each other on the podcast. How would you explain Clever Hans to somebody who did not even understand the first thing about Clever Hans?
Clever Hans is a story you get told in Psych 150 classes.
There you go. That's all you need to know. Yeah. Okay. It's a horse as well.
It's a horse.
Yeah. You forgot the fact that it's a horse. That's one of the big things about it.
Okay. A German horse.
Shit. Yeah.
Okay, so Clever Hans was a horse in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
The end of the story. We did it.
Yeah, a remarkable German horse with a very long Wikipedia entry.
But we're doing jokes, but obviously, like, the actual story of Clever Hans is that there in Germany once there was a horse.
Yes, and he was great at racing. He was very fast and could jump a lot.
Jump,
and this is why they called him Clever.
We both read the Wikipedia page, right?
I gave it a good skim.
We didn't definitely just both assume the other person would read the Wikipedia page about this horse that's from Germany.
The Clever Hans effect is getting ups as a horse. If you can do a bunch of hurdles as a horse, that is called the Clever Hans effect, much like the Michael Jordan effect in humans.
And later, the Mario effect.
The Mario effect.
Which is bullshit because Luigi jumps higher.
Yeah, but worse. So it's like, that's if you want to jump inaccurately.
I mean, worse if you've got weak hands and can't control him. He's just
weak
too
hands.
Powerful.
It's just a controller. You don't have to push that far hard. I don't know,
but mentally weak hands.
Mentally weak hands.
Yeah, you got mentally weak hands. You can't keep your man in check.
Can't keep your man in check.
Can't keep your man in check.
Okay. Clever Hans...
No, Gary, come on. Let's talk some more about Luigi. Real men pick Luigi.
It's if you want height rather than accuracy, sure.
You're still perfectly accurate if your hands are strong enough.
I've never seen anyone be perfectly accurate at Luigi.
Oh, come and watch me play a little. I think we did play Super Mario Brothers 2 with one control, multiple people on one controller, and I think I probably did put Luigi into the hellhole a couple times.
And pretty bad. Because you cannot be accurate in Luigi. It's difficult. And everybody can super jump. You don't even need Luigi's jump. You just got pressed down for a second.
Oh, who has the time in this economy, dude?
In Super Mario Bros. 2, you do have to... It's fucking the go-go-go world of Wart's Kingdom.
Well,
Dream Kingdom.
Because of that, Evil Mask wants to hit you. Clever Hans was a horse, and the horse lived in Germany.
Yes. And a psychologist hated this horse.
This fucking psychologist?
This horse had an enemy.
Yeah, and in fact... Clever Hans is the most famous symbol of the Church of Scientology, because if you want a fucking SP to talk about, Oscar Funkst, SP, yeah. Right there in the name, although
suppressive
in different
person
orders.
Is shit. Yeah. Yeah. Like one of the most suppressive persons that have ever existed.
A lot of Dianetics is about Clever Hans, who, and I will actually tell you the story now, existed in Germany as horse.
Yeah. Near the turn of the century.
And after.
And after. Near, before, and after.
Wherever you are.
And there was a...
Thanks for listening to Everything to Gengar.
Everything to Gengar. There is a... So Carl Stumpf hated this horse. We got this oppressive person, and he has made this horse his enemy. Weird thing to do, right?
Oscar Funkst is the one who hated the horse.
Oscar Funkst, thank you. Yes, thank you.
And to be... sorry, what are we talking about?
We're talking about Everything to Gengar. The horse Pokemon. We're talking about Ponyta.
Okay. Who was a horse in the German region of Kanto.
Yes. Germany, Kanto. Kanto. That's not German.
Immanuel Kanto? That anything?
Oh, that's yeah, that's good.
You did
that's something.
Don't do that. Don't fucking
no,
do
no.
that.
No, no. I just, no. That's a perfectly fine mashup.
It's.
You're the girl talk of podcasters. That was a killer mashup.
Stop it. You're the girl talk at the girl talk of podcasters hanging out at the DMV.
Stalking out at the DMV.
Kant was German. I wasn't sure.
Yeah. Super German. You got any German in you?
Yeah, plenty. Mostly yeah. Dutch, some German, some English.
Yeah. No German in me.
No? No. Butterfield. Not is that all of. Dutch?
It's there's a little bit of Dutch in there. It's English. Irish. It was my mom's, you know. Actually, can you bleep that? I don't need people to know my mom's maiden name.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I will remember to bleep that.
Oh,
that
please,
one,
please actually do it.
Yeah, no. And I'm saying actually, yeah, for sure. I'll remember to do that.
No, but please actually do it.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I will.
Okay. And we're
I
we're
will
also,
definitely do that.
We're actualing. Don't make me get Gwen to re-edit it.
Sure, no, but actually, for sure, I will do that.
Please actually do that.
Yeah, no, man. I don't know how else to say that I'm actually going to do it.
Yeah, it's almost like you've got a bad voice. And it just makes you sound like a lying piece of shit.
Gary, I'm absolutely going to edit out that your mother's maiden name was...
Yeah. That's
and that
Betsy
one, too.
Song. Yeah, please don't edit that one out as well. Well, that's okay. No. Enough.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm going to, Gary, I can say it as many times as I want because I'm gonna absolutely edit out every instance of it accurately.
Don't make me not send you this audio.
Gary, I don't know how to more sincerely say to you that I'm going to edit out every single instance of your mother's maiden name.
You don't know how to sincerely say anything.
I'm sincerely saying it right now. No one, none of that audio is going to survive. It's all going to be pink noise.
I wish that I listened to the show so I could check on that, but my hands are tied and my life is in your hands.
You're too busy telling cheese stories to your other one.
Yeah. To my partner.
To be clear, Clever Hans was a horse in Germany.
Yeah. If you can, they didn't have very many horses was the thing.
They
which is what made him famous and made that psychologist hate him because the psychologist had staked his career on the fact that there were no horses in Germany.
Yeah, which was an interesting thing for a psychologist to care about. You'd think it'd be more of a veterinary.
Well, he had hobbies. You know, it was multiple kind of things he was doing. Psychiatry, especially at the turn of the century, didn't take up your whole day because you were just making up shit.
Yeah, and there wasn't Freud yet.
No. This is pre-Freud. So, and if you're pre-Freud... Fucking, you're before forever young. You've got to be forever young.
Freud.
If you like this show,
Freud would have had a field day with these horse dicks.
Dude, Freud and horse dicks are a match made in heaven, and horse vaginas. Because a secret thing about horse genitals is that their dicks make everyone uncomfortable, right? Mm-hmm. But not a whole lot of attention is paid to the horse pussy. As a kid, in a vulnerable age, I was left at one of my mom's dirtbag friend's house overnight by myself, too young. She had a horse. I had nothing to do. So I went and walked around, saw this horse, and saw its terrifying two-garage pussy, and was very scared and impressed and awed by it. And impressed upon me at a young age, the horse genitals are bad across the board.
After von Osten died in 1909, Hans was acquired by several owners. He was then drafted into World War I as a military horse and, quote, killed in action in 1916 or was consumed by hungry soldiers.
The consumed bit is really good. I didn't know how long we were going to keep just the German bit because this is really good. Patreon.com/DuckFeedTV. My name is Gary Butterfield, and with me, as always, as we'll use, you're listening to Everything to Galloping. This episode, of course, we're talking about Cheetak.
Cheetak, a horse. This is the longest back in history horse, and thus the least known about.
This is a guess horse, is what we like to call this.
Yeah.
This may not be the name of this horse.
Yeah, no. Or Cheetak, also sometimes referred to as Cheetak.
Cheetak, Seetak, Chetak.
Sometimes it's called the blue horse.
Yep. And it's full of words I can't pronounce.
It's going to be a rough one on the pronunciation because this is a horse from India.
Yeah. Beautiful country. Great food. Love India.
Hot eats. Cool treats.
Super cool treats. Cool ghee. Love to just have a big block of ghee. This horse was ridden by Maharana Pratap in the Battle of Haldigati.
In 1576.
Yes, way before I was born.
Yeah, Gary could not have been involved in this one.
In this horse. And we don't know if this horse was drafted and eaten, like our last horse.
Yeah.
Drafted or eaten. We're another horse that doesn't have how many hands tall it is, but we do get the nationality of this horse. So if you're, you know, very concerned about those kind of things, you get to find out the nationality of this horse.
I'm going to look at the history of this. How many edits does this Wikipedia page represent?
Yeah.
That's
a good question.
Let's set it
more than I want.
There are certainly more than 100.
Yeah.
It doesn't just give me the number. There are several. So they've removed.
There's more
let's
than
just look
500.
At some reasons for edits. Everyday usage. Yeah. Averting possible vandalism by Hari Ram.
Ooh. Hari Ram's at it again. How did they put that guy away?
Someone has edit reason. Real and authentic history of Cheetak, horse of Maharana Pratap. Adding everyday usage. The battle has several edits. A lot of these are just IP addresses, unsigned. A lot of these are from like one IP address.
Do you think it was the horse himself?
I think probably, yeah. I'm just going to go back and look at so edit reason for the original one was this famous horse deserves an article of its own.
Hear, hear.
So let's just go ahead and look at that. It is a long text file. This is from May 2007. No story of the famous battle can be complete without mentioning the exploits of Cheetak in this battle. It was while mounted on Cheetak, the Pratap made that daring attempt on the life of Imperial Mughal commander Man Singh. Again, it was Chetak who carried away Pratap to safety from the lost battle, even though being grievously wounded himself.
Have you ever thought about what it would be like to care about anything as much as Wikipedia-specific people like that? Like,
I'm thinking about it now, and it just makes me bored.
Yeah, I don't think this is something that you and I have in common, even though there are very many things we don't. I get depressed thinking about that and bored. Like, if I was reading about a battle and a guy was in a war, and this guy he was fighting against British colonial occupation, you know, this is all important stuff, and somebody wrote the Wikipedia and didn't include the name of the horse, getting mad enough to write this is caring about something on a level I've never cared about anything except for perhaps my wife, my country.
I don't think it's anger. I think it's, hey, I know a story.
I mean, it is insufferable know-it-allism.
Yeah.
But it's not a story. It's just the horse the guy was riding.
But he carried him to the battle and then away from it, even though the horse was hurt.
It's a horse that gets you from point A to point B. There's no information in this Wikipedia other than that we don't know the name of this horse. It might have been this.
Do you think it'd be funny in a Western if they had Tracy Chapman there playing Fast Horse?
That would be very good. They should do Blazing Saddles too with that.
I mean, they did remake Blazing Saddles, of course.
Did they?
Of course. Paws of Fury, the Ballad of Hank or whatever it's called.
I'm not familiar.
Like 5 years ago, they remade Blazing Saddles as a children's comedy about talking animals starring Michael Cera as a dog.
I had no idea.
Has to become the sheriff of a town of cats.
I had no idea.
Mel Brooks has a producer's credit on it because he was in the producers.
Yeah. They actually put him as a credit whenever they list the people who are in the producers in every movie. Yeah.
Which they do in every movie for some fucking reason.
And every time they do another Broadway thing of it, they have to add more people. So now you get like Nathan Lane and everything. You get, what's his head? Ferris Bueller. He gets in everything.
Have I had enough of Nathan Lane, do you think?
Like we as a society or me personally?
I said me.
Okay, sorry, I misheard you.
Discord is now editing out my pronouns.
Yeah, the classic woke Discord.
You know, Discord never edits out anything you do, so I wonder if you have a setting.
You're shadow banned is what it is, actually. Yeah,
my singing is shadow banned.
Yeah, your singing has been just a certain amount of loudness. It's not even singing, like a certain volume of your voice. You have, Will, can I pay you a true thing that isn't necessarily a compliment?
Yes. Did Discord edit that? I said yes in a quiet, timid voice.
It did edit that. You have a forceful voice.
Okay.
Have you ever considered that? Like that you have a strong voice? I think you have a strong voice.
One time an improv teacher told me that my voice always sounded fake.
That's a really mean thing for them to say.
Yeah, it ate at me for a long time, and then I quit improv forever. Cruel.
That's cruel. Yeah, I wouldn't say that your voice always sounds fake.
Yeah.
I think it's very forceful in a way that like mine is not.
Yours is soothing. You got soothing tones.
I got a milky tenor. I've got a very gentle sing-songy voice. And whereas I feel like you've got more of a like impact font, you know, straight out of Compton. Like your voice is a little bit more like that.
Gary, is this your way of getting around answering the question? Do you think I've had enough of Nathan Lane?
I forgot about the question, but let me go back to it.
Sure.
I think you probably had enough of Nathan Lane because I feel like you probably had a little bit more Nathan Lane than I have. You are more savvy about entertainment and you read about more movies than I watch. So that probably includes some Nathan Lane movies, you know? So you've probably gotten plenty of Nathan Lane.
Do I require anything more of him, I guess?
I would like you to watch Beau Is Afraid. I'd be curious to hear what you think about it. And he's in that. So I think you require one more performance.
That's the one where Joaquin Phoenix wants to have scared sex with his mom or something?
Something like that. I wasn't really following it, but it's something like that. I was mostly there for the haircuts.
I've read the Wikipedia page.
Yeah. Well, did you notice Nathan Lane in the Wikipedia?
I did, yeah.
Okay, you probably got enough Nathan Lane then.
Yeah. He plays Bo? Or does he play Iz?
No, he plays Iz. And the mom plays Afraid. Patti LuPone.
Oh, I love Patti LuPone. I can never have enough of Patti LuPone.
I can never have enough Patti LuPone either. What a delicious bitch. She's so mean. I love that interview recently where she said she's angry about Trump, I think. Mm-hmm. She just like said something real mean about it. It's good.
She was really good on Agatha All Along.
She's great. Patti LuPone is wonderful. Real good. And Bo is Afraid.
I could get some more Catherine Hahn. We could keep doing Catherine Hahn.
Catherine Hahn's great as well. Enjoy Catherine Hahn quite a bit. You know who I'm always surprised to see slumming it?
Tell me.
Megan Mullally. You'll see her in like just random bad sitcoms all the time.
I mean, sure, she's a TV actor. She's a TV actor. Not
She is a TV actor, but she's never like she's really memorable and good in Parks and Rec and is just kind of nothing in a lot of other shows.
I mean, she's a TV actor. What are you going to do?
Some TV actors, like, you always know when Brian Posehn shows up, and he's a TV actor for a long time. He has a presence.
I would not consider Brian Posehn a TV actor.
He was for a while.
I consider him a stand-up comic who did some acting.
I feel like there was a time in which they were both doing similar amounts of work on TV.
I'm going to ask you a real question. Has Brian Posehn ever acted in a TV show?
Yes.
The Mandalorian.
I have never seen The Mandalorian.
Okay, where did you see him acting?
He has acted occasionally in Mr. Show.
Does he look and sound exactly like Brian Posehn?
He looks exactly like Brian Posehn no matter what he does. It's this curse he's got. But he doesn't always sound exactly like Brian Posehn.
On the scale of curses, that is pretty rough.
It's a pretty horrible curse. Fucking Ravel Puzzlewell. Got him. Got him good. Yeah. That guy, you know what I was thinking about Brian Posehn the other day? As, you know, him having that curse.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know what the plus side of that curse is? Is he's
more memorable
like
than
that,
Steve Agee?
Super more memorable than Steve Agee. But he's also looked like that since 1993. Like he's not changing. He's kind of like, you know, this high my flame burns and no hotter, no higher. This is as much as this I'm going to look like.
He kind of, you know? I would suggest that he has gone from looking like a Dungeons and Dragons troll with 12 charisma to a Dungeons and Dragons troll with 6 charisma.
But still pretty, in terms of how much, like, you or I have changed since 1993.
No, I understand. But, like, if we were in Dungeons & Dragons, there would be trolls statted out with 12 charisma and trolls statted out with 6 charisma. And we could tell the difference, but it wouldn't be a big one.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the blessing of Brian. That's the blessing side of the curse of Brian Posehn.
Yeah. You know? After he dies, he will still look not much worse.
Yeah. It's not the Portrait of Dorian Gray, but it's like a weird spinoff.
We should somebody pitch him the on same, the portrait no what of they Brian do. Posehn.
The portrait of Brian Posehn would be a good book. and a good portrait. Should draw it. How much fan art of Brian Posehn do you think there is?
Let's ask the internet.
Yeah, that's
Brian
a good thing to ask the internet.
Posehn fan art. Some.
Okay. Some. Yeah, some.
Oh, because he does nerd poker.
Yeah.
So.
Which is unlistenable.
Didn't seem like one I would want to listen to. I've listened to a fair amount of live plays, like actual plays and stuff.
The thing about Nerd Poker is it was really early in that, like very early. So I listened to it when I thought I would like that format. And it was really boring. If people like this show and they like horses, buy a horse, get yourself a horse. You can just own one. They're legal to own and you can have one in the backyard and you're not supposed to drink their milk, but they can't stop you if you own the horse.
Actually, pro tip, take the milk, cut the back of the horse's neck, put the blood into the milk, drink that.
Yeah. Kind of like a gravy pouring horse.
That's what the Mongols did.
Yeah. And everything they've done is good.
For a while, my mom was kind of leasing a horse.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
We don't really have time.
Okay. So, I mean, I can probably just fill in the blanks. There's so many reasons to lease a horse.
She was paying for, like, some of its stable fees, and then she was allowed to go groom the horse and ride the horse sometimes.
I used to go hang out sometimes with the horses of my friend Autumn Greer when I went down and visited them and saw those horses, and that was scary and lovely, great and terrible in equal measure.
I don't care for them as animals.
No, it's one of my least favorite animals. Have you... Me and Liv went to the county fair last year or the year before, and they had, like, the Super Clydesdales, like the horses that are the size of, you know, they're twice as tall as normal horses.
Oh, my God.
It's fucked up. Like, there's some bloodborne-ass, like, death horses you can see. Very scary. They make them bigger than even normal, and normally they're too big.
I want to be very clear that Chetak was not an interesting horse. And that later people made up stories about a horse that the guy was riding in the battle. And then that is what the Wikipedia page is about.
Yes. We actually know this is one of the horses we know the least about in real life.
Because it's just some horse. People. So this horse lived in the 1500s. And then in the 1800s, people were like, let's tell some stories about the horse this guy was riding on.
Yeah. Hey, India, get some extra history so you don't have to fucking mine the horse mines.
I do not endorse anything Gary has said today, and that least of all.
as always, we are cowed by the infinitely long dick of Sheffield.
What?
What was the actual sign-off?
The horse's name was Sefton, dude. You were Sefton, talking okay. So much. Do you not still have that Wikipedia page open?
No, I closed it to save tabs.
How many tabs you got open right now?
Three. Anyway, Sefton's got a gigantic dick that puts all of ours to shame. Umbasa.
The ultimate failure point of a... any duck feed show is just resignedly saying Umbasa.
Yeah. It's really nice to have a ripcord. You call it a failure, but it feels good to have an escape.
Near, far, wherever you are, Umbasa.